A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them a power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack, nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to use a word that I think, at least for Catholics, we don't say in church. We don't usually use this word in our speech or conversations with one another. I never hear it used in the pulpit, not in my experience anyway. So because it's such an unusual word for us, at least for Catholics, I'm going to back into it slowly, carefully, so it doesn't shock your system. Here we go. When we worship and we say, "I'm going to church," we could say, "I'm going to a gathering place, the gathering place." We live such disparate, separated lives out there, many of us never see each other beyond the doors of our church. So we go to church, to the gathering place, once a week, maybe more. We connect with one another, we pray together, and then we go out. It's a gathering place. We're happy about that. We know we're accepted by others. At least we should be. And in that place, there should not be any distinctions about race or looks or education or economics and all that stuff that the world uses to judge people by. We're like people on a long journey. It's our lives. For some, at this point of our journey, the terrain is pleasant. These are happy days. So we have good scenery, friendly companions. We enjoy the trip. We come to the gathering place, and there we use key words like, "Thank you," and "I'm so grateful." Some of us come to the gathering place to recuperate. It's like a pit stop in a race. We get out of the rat race for a breather to remind ourselves who we are. Focus again. It's as if our worship space were a secure castle with a moat around it. We enter over the drawbridge and they pull it up behind us, and we're together for a while at least, leaving it all behind. Others come to this gathering place shaken by crisis. We're really on the receiving end, holding out our empty hands, looking for comfort, strength, support. Jesus knew the importance of having a gathering place to go to. He provided one for his disciples. The gospel says he calls the 12 together. They're gathered, away from the rush, the to and the fro, the frenzy of the crowds. It's what he's done before, and he invites them aside to be with them and so they could be with one another. In fact, he is the gathering place for them, as he is for us too. And it isn't the building that makes us a church, after all. It's that we gather with him and with each other. But don't get too cozy. If the drawbridge is up for a while, it's only temporary. Soon you'll hear the rattle of the chains going down. We have to leave this gathering place. Someone said about church, the church building, the most important symbol there is the exit sign, because we have to go out to live our faith. The gospel makes it clear that the apostles may gather with him for a while, but the gathering place becomes a sending place. It says, he sent them forth to proclaim the reign of God and heal the sick. In other words, by their words and actions, they're supposed to bring his presence to others, announce it, to let them know that they're not alone in their struggles, that God has sent someone to help them and deal with their afflictions. Note, he says, don't take any extra baggage, don't carry money, tunics. Don't have a big budget, no gimmicks, no big splash, no razzmatazz. He's to be the strength in our lives and the source of the healings we're called to perform. If they were given power and authority to overcome demons, the first realization would be that the demons were within them. They'd have to overcome their own internal demons. Remember that this is the group overcome by the demons of fear and cowardice in the face of Jesus' sufferings. These were the people ruled by the demons of ambition and prestige. Two of them said, when you come into your glory, let us sit, one on your right, one on your left. They wanted to be the chief honchos. They had to face their personal demons, and we do too. We're going out to proclaim the gospel, and yet we lack self-confidence. And there are those other demons, too, the addictions to work and to alcohol or drugs. There are demons of exclusivity. We separate ourselves from them. There's our demon of indifference. Nothing moves us outside our immediate circle. The disciples had a lot to deal with, and so do we, but we're not alone. They weren't alone. Jesus' Spirit was with them. And so they would have an ongoing healing process in them and in their lives, as we do, to overcome our personal demons. Those first apostles would always feel unworthy, not ready yet to look outward, always know as they went out talking about Jesus and doing his deeds, that people could look at them and say, hey, you're no saints. But when they doubted, they'd remember their faith in Jesus, who gave them, the gospel tells us, power and authority. Jesus would always be with them, working through them, so they'd never be alone or need to feel ill-equipped. There's a word that sums it up, what they would have to be, and that what we would have to be. Are you ready for it? The word is evangelists. I know what you're thinking. Preachers on television in large arenas. Preachers standing on street corners, thumping the Bible. Doesn't that make you feel uncomfortable? Makes me feel uncomfortable. But Jesus is sending out those who were there at the gathering place. He is speaking over them and over us too, the same words. Go and proclaim. In other words, be evangelizers. Make the news of Jesus known to those who haven't heard it. How can we be evangelists if we don't feel called to stand on street corners? In our Raleigh, North Carolina diocese a while back, the Office of Evangelization in its newsletter gave what it called some practical steps for evangelization. There were suggestions on ways of sharing faith, inviting people to deeper conversion, not just to non-believers, but to semi-believers, like the members of our own family. It suggested being evangelizers could be a very normal, natural process. So here are some of the suggestions. See which ones suit you. Help people. Take the cake to a new neighbor. or offer to take care of a person with Alzheimer's so a family member can have a day off. Talk about your faith to your friends, neighbors, family members. People frequently quote their parents' statements about faith. My mother always said, discuss the headlines and news stories in the light of faith. Mention that you're, say, praying for that abducted child or for the presidential elections. Invite others to adult education and support groups or social functions at church. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Notice the good news in your life. Mention it to others. Treat others with honesty and sincerity. Know your faith. You don't have to be a scholar to explain what you believe, but you can always learn a little bit more, and there are classes and parishes and books we could read. We could all use some help. Express sincere interest and concern for others. Share their joy and their burdens. Seize the moment. Take opportunities to share the goodness of God in situations that you find yourself, in both the tragedies and the celebrations. You could recommend or give inspirational books as gifts. Send cards with scripture messages on them. You could involve others in your church community. Let people know they're needed. Finally, I think you could practice using that unspoken word. Say to yourself, I am an evangelist. I'm sent by Jesus to proclaim the gospel.